Well, again, good morning, and I want to thank you on behalf of our staff and our volunteers at Generations Church. Thanks for joining us today in the wonderful kids program. I mean, they stole the show, didn't they? And they should have. I have nothing to say. Sermon's over. We're done. Let's go home. Yeah, right. Well, that's my daughter's. You don't get away with that. So we had a reading of the passage this morning, and I thought, what would we talk about in relation to the biblical narrative today and the story of Jesus? And the children program did a wonderful job of teaching us and going through the narrative in some way. This year, we wanted to talk and focus on the incarnation. And that's God with us. And the theme today is God with us. If you take a look at the Daily Bread back there, you can grab a copy of this when you get home, or when you leave, and read it when you get home. There's an entire devotional on God with us. And we're going to sing a song at the end about telling it on the mountain, God's with us. That's what essentially the incarnation is, that God came to earth, Jesus was flesh, incarnate means became flesh, and then died on the cross for us. The entire theme of the narrative of the Christmas story is one of love, one of sacrifice. The birth is something that we obviously celebrate tenderly because that's when Jesus came to be with us. And that truly is God with us. And I think oftentimes what we fail to remember is that God with us has not changed in 2,000 plus years. When Jesus came to earth and he became our Savior, God with us has not changed. He is still with us. And the narrative this morning is going to show us that, and I'm only going to speak for a few minutes because we're very concerned at Generations Church about our generations, and today you saw our generations. That's our number one priority, is to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry and present the gospel to the culture, and then also have a place to worship our God. That's what we do here. And we have come this morning to worship our Lord. And Matthew, in first chapter there, in verse 20, it says, as he, this is Joseph, considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is the point of Christmas. No other reason. The presents, the tree, all those could be symbols, yes, but Christmas is about Jesus our Lord. And we celebrate that very thing on December 25th here in the United States. But don't forget, when you're tearing through the presents and getting the paper off and having a Yuletide or having a piece of meat or having a cinnamon roll, remember why we're doing the celebration. Christmas is a big season in the United States. But I think too often we forget about why we have Christmas. And we shouldn't be afraid to say Christmas. It's about Jesus. And so what I want us to take from the passage today in the entire narrative in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, was that Joseph was given, listen, four different specific instructions. These were divine interventions emphasizing the initiative that God takes in guiding Joseph's actions through the dreams. And there's the reference there. Finally, on the fourth time, the angel appears. These other three instances were the dreams. And so to suggest that God does not intervene in world affairs today is utter nonsense. He intervenes. He intervenes all the time. He's intricately involved, intimately involved with humanity because he came to be God with us. That was the whole point.
to prove and to show God's people that when Jesus rose from the dead, that took a miracle that was metaphysical. It was beyond science that anything could explain. It was beyond people's pales of their imagination. Who would have ever thought that Jesus would have died on the cross, and in by dying, he would defeat the enemy who is sin and death and the great devil? Who would have thought that by sacrificing his life, he would become our Savior? But before we get to the Savior, we have to get to the birth. And that's what God incarnate is, God with us. And I believe fully for each of you today that God will intervene in human affairs, your affairs. I cannot tell you the countless times we'd be bored to death if I sat here and laid out all the times that God has intervened in my life and in our family's lives. I'm sure that many of you have similar stories. So to say that God is not here, or taking on a deistic thought that God is not involved in the world that he created, which is a deistic thought, it's not true, because that's not what the Bible says. It says that he came, God with us. In fact, his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, the root there is Savior. As a result of the incarnation or the birth of Christ, we now have God with us, and we should stand in awe of God's love for us as displayed in his willingness to become a human to save us. And God had a plan from the beginning. It isn't like this was going along held by the seat of one's pants. God had this planned out. He knew that he was going to send us a Savior, and he knew who that would be. And matter of fact, the angels made it very clear, and today is the advent of peace. So in the ecclesiastical calendar, you go through the five Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve. The Advent today is the Advent of peace. Think of what this means. In Luke chapter 2, it reads something very, very specific. In verse 13, as we saw in the children's program of Luke 2, it says, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying," listen, "glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." He's not up in heaven waiting to crush you, to correct every little mistake that we make. He's not up in heaven waiting to put his thumb on us and stomp us in the ground. And so many people live as if that's the case. Why would he die for us and then go on to expect us to live a life that he knows we can't live on our own? He knows that we can't apply the Bible in every possible facet of our lives. We're going to fail at some point. He knows this. The expectation is that Jesus died for our sins and set us free from death and sin. That was the point of the coming of our Savior. Not that we could do this by ourselves. It requires the help of the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to reside in us. Now it's truly God with us, but not just God with us, God in us. His Spirit. Now you have a choice. And that choice is very simple. Either you believe what I said, or you don't. There's no other choice. You can't have it both ways. Well, I'm going to live like the world, but I think I believe in God. Well, no, I believe in God and forget what the world does and how they live. No, you can't do that. Either you believe or you don't. It's a binary choice. Yes or no. There's no middle ground. So you have a choice to make. The good news for us today, and this is truly the good news of the gospel, and that is that when we follow the Lord's guidance, we receive peace from that. We have peace in our inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we cannot explain. It's metaphysical. It's supernatural. It's beyond explanation. It's beyond nature. But I could tell you over the course of human history, millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians over time will tell you about the still small voice. Over and over and over we have prayer meetings. You know, I come from a Baptistic tradition, and they have prayer meetings on Wednesday night where we sit around and drink coffee and tell jokes and then pray at the end. And at those prayer meetings, over the years, repeatedly, people would talk about, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I have peace about this or that. And who do you think supplies the peace? It comes from within. And if you're a child of God, and you've confessed faith in Christ, He's your Lord and Savior, you have experienced that peace before. And you must take the time this Christmas to be reminded of why you have the peace. If you're facing a life decision, a big decision, and you have no peace about that decision, don't do it. Wait. I could tell you, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 and read the faith by faith by faith by faith by faith, 45 verses or whatever it is, by faith by faith by faith, all the fathers and have gone before us, all the patriarchs, all those that gone before us, stepped in faith. And they did it without any sense of assurance in that sense. But they had an inner calm. Look at what Noah struggled with over the years as he was building the ark. And he was tantamount to being heckled right off the planet. They were joking, they were laughing, they were mocking when he was building. And yet he persisted and built and built. Look at Joseph, who's one of our forefathers, thrown in prison, virtually murdered by his family who rejected him because he bragged about being the Lord's chosen. And he spent a year or two or three in prison, and it wasn't for about 25 to 30 years until he became the prime minister of Egypt and saved God's people from the Egyptians. Consider King David. The smallest brother in the family takes out a 10-foot giant with a single stone, and he believed when God told him he'd be king. And he ran from Saul, and he had every opportunity and intention and desire to kill Saul. But in the last minute, God said, don't do it. And so he didn't kill King Saul, which he rightfully could have, and even righteously done it because of what Saul did. But God told him, don't do it. And by faith, he didn't do it. Consider Elijah on the Mount Carmel meltdown. The stones are atomized by the rock and by the Lord, and a big fireball drops down on the altar, and then he wipes out 450 false prophets. In the very next scene, literally, in the next verse, in the beginning of the next chapter, he's hiding from Jezebel in the cave after this glorious scene where God shows up. He does this visible miracle in front of the people, and he's afraid of the very person he basically just wiped out. Oh, are we human and frail, aren't we? Oh, are we so frail? And when Elijah had his moment, God finally spoke and said, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? Get up and go out and outside the cave. And when he went outside the cave, God had some more words for him. Peace. This holiday season, peace in our hearts comes from knowing God. And not only knowing Him, but He knows you. In fact, every hair on your head is numbered according to the Scriptures, what it says. He knows you intimately. He knows what you need. And He's prepared to act. In fact, He may be acting now. Only you would know. And those that the Lord intervenes in their lives, they know. They know it beyond any shadow of doubt. When you pray into thin air, it's not a coincidence that that prayer gets answered. You know how astronomically impossible it would be for that to be true? That you just pray into thin air, talk to somebody who you pretend you don't even know who it is, and then that prayer is answered? You know how astronomically impossible that is? And being a coincidence? And then have it happen again? Do you see how it's impossible to think that God is not intervening in his own creation? And he proved his love for mankind. He proved his love for you by becoming Emmanuel, God with us. He proved it, not with words, not through others per se in their words, but by his actions. Sometime this Christmas, between a peppermint stick and a hot chocolate, remember who your Creator is. And last time at Thanksgiving, the last season of celebration, we were talking about being grateful. And I want us to extend that today and into this next couple few weeks to express to your family how grateful you are for them. Cheryl, you've done that. You have. Others have too. Express your gratitude toward one another. Have peace in your house on purpose. And if you don't get your way on a little thing, let it go. If you don't get the best cut of meat, let it go. If you didn't get the present you want, be thankful for the present you got. And you kids, you did such a wonderful deal at the program this morning. And when you open your presents, remember who they came from. Your parents. Or Santa Claus? Is there a Santa Claus? Well, that's a holiday tradition that was started, but it's not Jesus. Jesus is why we have Christmas. And the presents are a reflection of God giving us the greatest gift, the gift of his Son. Would you pray with me as we close? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that you've done this year, actually, in 2024. Thank you for sending us Jesus, God with us, to be our Savior. Thank you for today's Advent, the Advent of peace. And we know that your word says in the book of Proverbs that your peace surpasses all understanding. Doesn't make sense to the rational mind, often. And for Christians, those who profess faith in Christ, who have your Spirit, know precisely what it is. And so, Lord, we thank you for coming and being our Savior. Coming in a lowly manger, identifying with all people, and especially us. And you showed up to the shepherds who were the poorest in society, meaning that you came to die for everyone, not just the wealthy, not just the popular, not just the esteemed, but everyone. That you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, that who should ever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In your word in the book of Romans, it says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal doom. But today, we're so grateful that you came to be God in us and God with us. We are not God, but we have your Spirit so that we can live as best we can in the way that Jesus taught us. And we have your Spirit to empower us to live the life that you've created for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. We celebrate you today. We thank you for your birth. We thank you for the angels and for the heavenly host and for Joseph and Mary that raised you, and how that you grew and became our Savior. And as a result, we have peace on earth. And we've experienced your goodwill towards man, in whom you are well pleased. Thank you today for all of your goodness in our lives, and help us to express and share that with others. I give you thanks today in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said amen. Worship team, would you come?